So the words believe and faith and joy and hope will feature this morning as we think about the words from Luke chapter 1, verses 5 to 25, if you'd like to open your Bibles. And thank you, Lil, for coming to read for us.
In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of the Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive and they were both very old. Once Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been answered. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah answered the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." This is the word of the Lord.
So if we think about the first, about one of the decorations, it said believe. It was incredibly difficult for Zechariah to believe that an angel was sent from God. And if you stand in Zechariah's sandals for a moment, he's not cut much slack. He sees an angel. He's told something life-changing that will obviously impact him hugely. And then while the poor guy's in shock, he's made mute for 9 months. He gets a bit of a bad time, doesn't he, really? But I don't know whether you have tried to play the game charades. I like games like that. And if we had time this morning, that's what I've done. But here in these verses we've just read, it's a little bit like the game of charades. Because verse 22 says, "He kept motioning to them and remained unable to speak." I don't know how he would motion whatever he needed to motion. But we see Zechariah miming the fact that he'd just encountered an angel. Maybe he did like flappy wings or something. But it's not just that he saw an angel. It's also the knowledge that was given to him. And even though he and his wife are beyond child-rearing ages, they're going to be blessed with a baby. Now, hands up, those of you who think you are beyond child-rearing ages. Alex, that wasn't a good move. That really wasn't a good move, putting your hand up there. I saw the smack you just got. So put your hand up again and say after me, God can do anything. God can do anything. I wonder, do we sometimes unintentionally look around and think, ah, yes, God can do anything for him or for her, perhaps in this person's life or that person's life, and perhaps the person's who just put their hand up. And yet, sometimes we don't think it's possible for our lives because we don't believe. We don't have the faith to believe sometimes. Well, I just ask, who is it or what is it that we put our faith in? Is it ourselves? Do we measure God's capability by our standards, by our limitations? I remind you and I that we are not God. Only God is God. Do you recall the father's response in Mark 9:24 when his son was healed? Immediately the father of the child cried out, I believe, help my unbelief. And today we too may need to cry out, I believe, help my unbelief. For Zechariah, his faith is pretty rock bottom. It's pretty low, as low as you can go. You see, despite his position, his enormous significance of the moment, Zechariah is worn down by experience. Years of serving fatherless in a priestly division called father have left him feeling hopeless and despondent. He cannot escape the angel's words because his heart is darkened with hurt, with disappointments and unanswered prayers. Despite his faithful service and daily devotion, Elizabeth and Zechariah, we do need to remember that for life for people living in Israel, and especially for an older couple with no living children, who are increasing in age, brought with it the advent of darkness. You see, children were security, offering provision for old age, and without them the future would offer no hope and no promise. But as Elizabeth and Zechariah sat in the shadows of life's closing, God entered in an amazing way. Just when they thought all hope was gone. And so we've seen Zechariah's response, and now Elizabeth's is quite clear in contrast. Elizabeth, who thought she was barren in verse 7, was not just brought out of the shadows but thrust into the limelight. She's destined to bear the child who will prepare the people for the Lord's coming. But she also provides reassurance to her young cousin, Mary, and in her words echoes her own joy. Verse 45. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. And verse 25. The Lord has done this for me. In these days he has shown his favour and taken away my disgrace among the people. And her response to this is personal. Three times she says, me or my, and God has seen her. God has heard her, and God knows her. And you know what? God has seen you, God has heard you, and God knows you, and he knows your name. So Elizabeth doesn't need Zechariah to tell her this. This is the Lord's work. He can't do that anyway, can he? But when the baby is born, she's also quite clear about the usual convention of giving the boy his father's name isn't to be followed. She speaks up. She doesn't conform. And she says that he's to be called John. And everyone looks to Zechariah for a response, expecting him to keep with convention. But his journey is complete, and asking for a tablet, he writes, his name is to be John. The meaning of John is gracious, because despite Zechariah's unbelief, God is gracious. Well, it may have taken a short time for it all to sink in. And it may have taken time for Zechariah to leap like a gazelle for joy, as the message paraphrases. But when his voice returns, it returns in a cascade of praises to God, and he celebrates his journey from unbelief to belief with these words. And you, my child, prophet of the highest, will go ahead of the Master to prepare his ways. Present the offer of salvation to his people, the forgiveness of their sins through the heartfelt mercies of our God. God's sunrise will break in upon us, shining on those in the darkness, sitting in the shadow of death, then showing us the way, one foot at a time, down the path of peace. And we know that Jesus is the only way. If you aren't already aware of that, may you realise that there is no other way. There is no other way than Jesus' way. Zechariah's song is a prophecy that shatters not only in his silence and darkness, but the world's darkness for all time. Zechariah's journey gives hope to those who are hopeless, that overflowing generosity and joy can burst out when God enters. And today, perhaps there are areas of our lives that we need to allow God to enter and transform, bringing light to those dark situations. So do you want those dark situations to become filled with light and to be transformed? Ask him. Ask him to help to believe that he can do that for you. Ask him, the one who is hope, to fill you again with his hope. Ask him to give you the faith of Elizabeth, who had enough to know that she didn't need to conform to the world. Ask him to restore to you the joy of our salvation. This Advent, may we ask what it is that he requires as we wait with him. May God bless you each.